Now, it's a real treat for me to have Mike and Gwen Meller here this weekend. Mike was my pastor when I was a teenager, and Mike and Gwen were both very kind to me and a great example to me. So I'm going to introduce them to you now. Come and join me at the front. It's lovely to see you.
Good to see you, Chris.
Gwen, tell us about your family and where you've come from today.
Come up from Bournemouth, just outside Bournemouth, and that's where we live now. And Mike retired from full-time ministry last August, and we have four married daughters, seven grandchildren, and we've worked in various places, but here we are. It's a great joy to be with you all and to be with Chris and Rebecca.
So. You don't look old enough, Gwen.
Nah.
You got that written down.
Anyway.
Where are you going?
Oh, I finished. Okay. Yes, so, will that do?
That's lovely. Thank you very much. So, Mike, we met in 1989, I think, when I was 15.
Whoa. Okay.
Just give us a thumbnail sketch of your ministry over the last however many years.
Leisure was our second church. I went to Bible College in South Wales, 81 to 84. And then we pastored a church in the valleys in South Wales, near Abertillery, a place called Aberbeek, for 5 years as a Baptist church. And then God called us to Lichard, and that's where we met. That was in 89. And, Yeah, Chris was a great help. I could recognise there's this great singer there, so we sort of used that, and we'd go to different places, wouldn't we? And if I was speaking somewhere, I'd get Chris to have the sweet bit before the bitter bit afterwards. we enjoyed our time together there, didn't we?
And where have you been since?
After that, we went to London in Covent Garden and did a church planting work there for, I think, 8 years. And then with the Open Air Mission, I've always loved open air work, and so I did 7 years, I think it was, with the Open Air Mission. And I felt God calling us back into more of a pastoral work, so we went to Moreland Baptist Church, but wasn't there all that long before the church planted, and so we...
In Bournemouth.
Involved in the church planting work just outside of Bournemouth, a place called Ferndown. And then church became an independent FIC church, and then I stepped down last August. And now involved in doing things like this. That's it in a nutshell, really.
Well, we're very glad to have you.
Joy.
Now, you've got a very interesting story, Mike, about how you became a Christian.
Yes.
Just tell us, what was life like for you before you were a Christian?
In a word, chaotic, I guess. In sort of two career paths, if you like, in newspapers and in the music business. And got involved with heavy drinkers in both of those. And I guess inevitably became an alcoholic. A lousy husband and dad, and really over a period of years, just came to the end of myself. I think that no hope. I guess that's where I was. But providentially, there was a young man that worked on the same newspaper as I did. He was a Christian, and I could just see there's something different about him, but just couldn't see it was for me. I just thought, you know, he's religious, good for you, mate. My life is going down and down. I mean, just drinking more and more, having car crashes all the time, and police took my license off me for drunken driving and got it back again, and then up to the same trick before. But really, I came to a crunch where I'd been on a 3-day drinking binge, crashed a car again, another court case coming up, And in my heart, I knew there was no hope. I knew I was going to die. Out of control, poor old Gwen drove around the bend. But no amount of nagging and... You just can't reason with a person with an addiction. And that's what I was. There was this chap just there at the right time, right at the side of me. And one day we were chatting together, and he said to me something like, "Mike, you know, you can't carry on like this, can you?" And I said, "Well, no, of course I can't." No, but didn't expect any answer. But then he said, "Mike, do you believe in God?" And I said, "Possibly. I mean, I never denied there was a God, but I just thought, who knows?" And then he asked me another question. He said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And then I thought, yeah, there could have been someone 2,000 years ago called Jesus Christ. But again, my mind was saying, well, who knows? And what was the connection between 2,000 years ago and me here? But then he said, why don't you ask God to actually forgive your sin and come into your life and take over? Now, I didn't understand a word of what he was saying, to be honest, but there was something stirring inside of me. And I went out of the room, I went into a little cubicle in a toilet. I got down on my knees. And I prayed what must have been about the worst prayer anyone's ever prayed. It must be in the Guinness Book of Records for worst prayers. It was just simply, God, if you're there, in brackets, help. And, well, that was it. Came out of the toilet, as you do. And got in my car to drive home. And as I drove home, just broke down in tears of joy. Because I knew that God was real. I knew God loved me. I knew that Jesus died on the cross. I knew if I crash the car and die now, I'm going to heaven. And I just drove home and flung the door open. And Gwen was in the kitchen. I said, no, Gwen, I've become a Christian. And she said, oh no, what's he up to now? Because she wasn't a Christian. And oh, here he goes again, one of those wild schemes. But really, well, I could go on. But that was it, wasn't it, Gwen?
It was. Yeah. September the 8th, 1979.
But you were terrified, weren't
you? He was changed.
Yeah, but you were
completely. So, yeah, because this new creation came home from work. He went out to work one way in the morning and he came home so different. He looked different. His eyes were white. He was glowing, absolutely glowing.
Standing up,
yeah. And I just thought, what now? Because I thought we were all Christians. We lived in a Christian country. Even more so then, because we're talking about 36 years ago, 37 years ago. And, I said, oh, well, whatever, you know. But it was absolutely this new person had come home and for so much better. And then the next day he was there. He was working that night as a musician and he came home. He was home before me. We had met in the music business. I was a singer, he was a trombone player, but we were now in different bands. And I got home. He was home before me, which never happened that night. And there was no smell of alcohol, and he was still shining, still bright, and this glow about him. And he said, I didn't need alcohol. After 10 years of absolute misery and addiction, he suddenly... He was back, you know, but with so different. And I couldn't understand it. And I, you know, anyway, the next morning I woke up and he wasn't there. And I heard this strange sound coming from downstairs. And there was this whistling. And he was up before me and I went downstairs. And he said, morning, cup of tea. Now, I hadn't seen this for a long, long time. And never like this. And he said, isn't it wonderful? I'm a Christian. I'm changed. I don't need alcohol anymore. And it was real. It was true. And he just went on from that time. He was given a Bible and by this Paul that he worked with, who, by the way, is a pastor himself. And, and he never looked back. What happened on that day happened in such a complete way. It doesn't happen for everyone like that. And then he had to struggle with me for 3 months because I couldn't get my head around what this new creation was. And, you know, what's happened to you? You need Christ, he kept saying. I don't want you to go to hell. You need to be right with God. And I ended up by saying, well, you were the black sheep of the family, not me. But anyway, 3 months later, I too asked the Lord into my heart and we became one in Christ. So that was fantastic.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, isn't it the case, Mike, that your colleague used to get you to proofread little evangelistic tracts?
Yeah, he was the editor of the youth magazine in the church. So he would say, oh, Mike, could you just check this through for spelling mistakes for me? And so he's mugging. But, and there was one thing, I mean, it's amazing how God... I mean, the most sudden conversion is never that sudden. I mean, you can look back over maybe years of things, but certainly towards the end, there was in this magazine, in one edition, not that I thought... I was aware of taking anything on board, but this is how, you know, the seed is sown, isn't it? But there was a one-frame cartoon in this magazine on the fact that Christ was coming again and it'd be the end of all things. And what it was in this cartoon was it was a double-decker bus. Remember the old London buses with a conductor on the, you know, on the end of it? And So there was a double-decker bus, and the destination was end of the world. And then the bus was pulling away, and there was a guy sort of running after the bus like this, but the conductor was on the bus saying, too late. Just that caption, too late. And without thinking or taking it on board at all, I just, in my own mind, I guess I thought, if Christ is coming again, if there's a judgment day, I've had it. And so that was it, just a seed that was sown. And so, you know, that was part of the process. And and awareness that, yeah, I needed to do something. There was that crisis there. But a wonderful day. And
A thrilling story. Thank you very much for sharing it with us.
Pleasure.
And we really look forward to hearing more from you over the weekend.
Thank you
very much. Just thought I'd read the verse that Gwen alluded to. From 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Funnily enough, the Lord used this verse in my own conversion. I was a small child when I asked Jesus to come into my life. But I said to my mother, I want to be born again and become a new creation. And God did it for me. God did it for Mike. God did it for many of us here tonight. He can do it for our children, some of whom are in bed now. And it's a great thing to pray for, isn't it? And the other thing which strikes me about Mike's story is how God used his colleague. And you may have non-Christian colleagues in work or non-Christian family members or neighbours, people you meet with. God can use you to bring them to be new creations in Christ. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us all here this evening. We thank you for your great goodness and love to us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he died for us. And thank you that we can be new creations in Christ. Lord, when we think of what we are in our sin, how we disobey you and break your law and rebel against you, thank you that all of that is forgiven if we're in Christ. Thank you for our new life. Thank you for our relationship with you and our fellowship together. We pray for this weekend. We pray that you'll use Mike and Gwen very much amongst us. We pray that you'll speak to us from your word and build us all up in our relationship with Jesus. We pray especially for the children, many of whom are not converted yet. We pray that you would speak to them, Lord, and that they would become new creations too. So we commit one another to you. We pray for a good night's sleep so that we may concentrate well on your word tomorrow. We pray that we'll all have a lovely time here this weekend. So be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.